Well, brethren, I am so delighted to hear Brother Gershom this morning, and we can truly call him Brother Gershom. He's in the family of God, and I am so aware that we need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Brethren, we can do nothing except the Holy Spirit comes, and we weren't forcing our brother in anything. It just the conversation started about the things of God, and it was just an innocent question: are you born again? And the Holy Spirit got a hold of the heart of this man and said, you need to be born again.
Hallelujah.
So, brethren, when you go out to witness, make sure you have the Holy Spirit with you. Because you can't do it in the flesh. I must say, this is the first time I ever had a driver that was born again while we're driving. We never stopped the car.
Amen.
But I know it's genuine. I saw the tears come to his eyes. And we know God did a mighty wonderful work in this man. Amen. Well, I'm an end time teacher, an end time preacher. And I want to go to the book of Kings. That would be the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17. And I want to talk a little bit about something that happened to Elijah. By the way, I don't think I'll be needing the whiteboard. I'll just do it with words today. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, Elijah gave the prophetic word to Ahab. And he told Ahab that there was not going to be rain or dew or anything else on the earth until I say so. In other words, God told him, he didn't tell him exactly how long it was going to be. He just said, you're going to have a very serious trouble. And brethren, by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God today, I can tell you that there is coming a storm. I don't know what it is. I don't know just what kind it is. It's a spiritual storm that's coming. Today, I talked to my wife. They're getting a snowstorm up there. I don't know how much they're getting. They may get that much snow. But it's a storm, and that's a natural storm. But everything I read in the Word of God, every end time thing, and we are approaching the end time, brethren. We are coming into the last of days. I believe that every sign that we're given in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, in the gospel of Jesus, in the words of Paul, we are coming to a time of the end. The Word of God says a time of trouble such as never has been ever in the world up until this time. So Elijah, I believe, is a type and shadow of what is happening. This event that is happening in Israel in the days of Elijah and Ahab. Elijah gave that word to Ahab, and then the word of the Lord came to him. Now, the one who gives the prophetic word, the one who gives the word, is the one who is going to have to live by the word as well. So Elijah was not immune to the word of trouble, the word of tribulation. He was not immune to that. And brethren, even we who preach this message, we are not going to be immune. We know that many are going to suffer. But we also know that if you want to come into the secret place of the Most High, there will be a provision made for those who are faithful and true and those who will be sons of God. Okay? We know that there will be foolish virgins, foolish Christians, who will not have the oil, but they will be able to buy the oil of tribulation. So I would say you should be asking God right now, God, I need oil. I need it. Give it to me no matter how you have to give it. Make sure that I have enough oil in my vessel that I'm going to be able to enter into a place in Jesus Christ as the wise virgin, as the bride, and the door is shut, and the intimacy of the life of Christ is going to flow through us. All right, now back to Elijah. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Now, I find it interesting. Yes, it was eastward in a natural, but east is also a word that what east means is the mind of God. So in Scripture, not every time, but sometimes when you see east, it means the mind of God. Now, remember when we used to draw the tabernacle here? The opening of the tabernacle, the gate, the door, the veil, everything faced the east. And so the entrance into this is from the mind of God. We enter into the things of God from the mind of God. So Elijah was to turn east so that he would have the mind of Christ. He would know the mind of God. He would not make a mistake. If he turned west and said, what difference does it make? I'll find another brook over here. But no, he said, go east. And then he said, let me see here. Go eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. In other words, there's a little brook that flows into the Jordan. Let me take you over to Isaiah 26, verse 20, because there's a verse here that I think this is what was happening to Elijah. This is a verse that came to my wife several years ago, and she printed it out and put it on the side of our refrigerator. I don't think it's there anymore, but I keep saying I'm going to go home and we're going to print this up and we're going to put it again on the side of the refrigerator. Here's the word to Isaiah. He says, come, my people, enter thou into... Verse 26, or 20. Chapter 26, Isaiah, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Okay? And shut thy doors about thee. This is all spiritual language here, brethren. We need to be shut in with Christ. You know, when there's a door... there's two sides to that door. When there's a shut door, there's two sides. Do you know what those two sides are? The best side in this is shut in.
Yes.
If the door is shut, you're shut in. If you're not in, you are what? You are shut out. So God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, come into your chambers, come into a secret place in God, and let the door be shut. Now, Jesus is the door, okay? And Jesus is going to shut you in. Jesus is the one that closes the door. Jesus is the one that opens the door. In the days of Noah, who shut that door on the ark? God shut that door. Man did not decide, well, it's time for me to shut that door. No, Noah went in there one night. He was 7 days getting the animals and everything in order. And he went to bed that night. And the next morning he woke up, the door was shut and it was raining, torrential. He could hear the rain, but nobody could enter in and nobody could go out. And God is saying that there's something in him in these last days. Yes, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But not everyone is going to be in that place in Christ. Do you hear me? I see this so clearly. I can find you a dozen places in the Word of God that this message is an absolute truth. So, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment. So this is what Elijah was to do. He was to hide here by this brook for a little moment, okay? And it turned out to be 3.5 years. Hide thyself until the indignation be overpassed. What indignation? God is going to raise up his indignation against the wickedness, the corruption, the abomination that is going on in the earth and is getting worse and worse and worse. You here in Belize, you know that it's coming here now. You know the law that they're trying to pass and how the churches are praying against this. You know that indignation is coming from God. He's not going to put up with this much longer. Somebody said if God doesn't do something about this wickedness, he's going to have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah, what he did then. No, God is not going to apologize to them. He's going to do something. But we don't know when. We don't know how dark it's going to get. We don't know exactly when the terrible hour of midnight is going to come. But at midnight, there will be a cry. I believe there's a cry being made even now. As you hear this message, as you hear other preachers that are preaching this end time word, there's a cry that says the bridegroom comes. Get ye out to meet him. Get out of yourself. Get into Christ and be prepared for that meeting with him. Amen. For a little moment, until the indignation is over and past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Iniquity is rebellion. It is wickedness. It is self, man doing the thing that he wants of himself. That is iniquity. Amen. And the earth also shall disclose her blood. Disclosing her blood. There's been much sin committed under blood, and it's all going to come to the light. Many, many wicked, powerful men have been involved in shedding blood. It's going to come to the light. Amen. And shall no more cover her slain. So back here to the book of Kings in chapter 17. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. What is it, drink of the brook? What was the message that Jim gave us last year? What is the water? What is the flow of water? It's living life. It's life. In the flow, the water is also a type of the Spirit. So Elijah is going to have to partake of the life of God, but at the same time, he's living in the world. You understand? Why do you say, Brother Mark, why do you say he's living in the world? Because the ravens are feeding him. Now, what do you know about ravens? Do you have ravens here in Belize? Well, no, a raven is like a crow, but you have a bird that is very much like the raven, and they're called vultures. Yeah, okay. Well, we see these vultures on the road. Little fellas, they're eating on roadkill, you know. And a raven eats the same thing. He's a little bit different. The raven is a pretty smart bird, by the way. He's one of the smartest of all birds. And we have, ravens are very rare. They're the first cousin of the crow. You have the crow here? Probably not. They don't come down this far. But we have the ravens in New York, way up in the high Adirondack Mountains. Yeah. And the raven is bigger than the crow. And one day I was out in my yard and I heard this awful noise. And I thought, my goodness, they don't sound like crows. So I took my glasses and I looked, and they were big crows, and they were making a different noise. And I said, oh my, the ravens have come. But they are so smart. I think they saw me with the glasses and they flew off into a tree far away, and I had a hard time finding them. But now the raven, let's read this. It says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Okay, what you know about raven, let's say the vulture, what did you call him again?
John Crow.
John Crow?
He's a little
John Crow. Well, he's a type of crow.
Yeah.
And so you're hiding in a little valley by a brook, and you're hidden in there, and no one knows that you're...
Black bird.
that they are scavengers. We know that they eat roadkill.
Dead flesh.
Yeah, dead flesh. And this is why, by the way, the Bible says that this bird is an unclean bird. In other words, you can eat other birds, you can eat the pigeon, you can eat the chicken, you know, you can eat those kind of birds, but you cannot eat this bird because it's an unclean bird. Why is it an unclean bird? Because it feeds on unclean dead flesh. Amen? So there are types of spirits that feed on unclean flesh. And by the way, I believe there's unclean ministries that also feed on unclean things and try to feed the people unclean flesh. So God has said, the raven will feed you. And so the raven comes in morning and evening. He brings bread and he brings flesh. And would you say, wait a minute, where did you get this? Is this good beef? Did this come from the butcher shop? Did you take this off somebody's table? Where did you get it? But he was to trust God. Where did you get that bread? Was it laying on the road or did somebody throw it out? Where did you bring that bread? But no, Elijah, I trust God. What he's going to bring me is going to be fit for me to eat.
Absolutely.
Now, you see, the unclean raven is feeding the prophet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand?
Yes.
Most of us are being fed by the ravens. Oh, now did you understand that? That means we are getting our income from the people of the world. You are working for a system. You're working for the bank. There's always something unclean there. You're working for a corporation. You have customers, and the customers are not always clean people. They are ravens, but they bring you food. You're a taxi man. A lot of people that hire your taxi, they're people of the world. They live by the world. But you say, God, I'm living, the raven is bringing me food. And God said, I have commanded the raven to feed you. Now that means as long as the command of God is on the raven must feed you. God sent me to a job one time way up in the mountains. I was there for 7 years. And it was a nursing home that I was administrator of. And there came a time, the chairman of the board, I won't tell you the whole story, his wife was the director of nursing. And I was her boss, but he was my boss. Do you understand? And there came a time when she began to fail at her job. And he found out that I was asking questions about it. And we came to a board meeting, and there were 12 members on this board of directors. He came to a board meeting, and after the normal business, he said, now I want a resolution that this man would be fired. He sat right next to me. I want to fire this man. Give me a resolution to fire him. And all the other board members sat there silent. The next month, we did the same thing. We presented our finances and everything, and after it was all over, he said, no, I want a resolution. We need to get rid of this man. And the board sat silent. Nobody, not one of those 12 board members would give him the resolution. Do you know what he did? He said, okay, I resign. He was the most powerful politician in the county where we have. I went to the man later. I saw him over in the clinic. I didn't hate the man. I didn't hate him. But he couldn't fire me. And I sat down next to him. And I said, how you doing, Sterling? He said, I'm okay. And then he looked at me and he said, I don't know how you did it. I said, how I did what? He said, no man has ever been able to come against me and win. He said, I don't know how you did it. Well, I didn't tell him, but the Lord showed me. He commanded the raven to feed me. And until the Lord told that raven that he was not to feed me anymore, they had to continue to feed me because I was doing my job right. Okay? So listen to me. If God puts a command, the raven has to feed you. All right, now, let me go on. And it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, we need to understand that we need to follow the life of the Spirit. When the life of the Spirit is dried up, it might be time to move on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes God tells us we need to be in a certain place, and we say, well, I'm going to be there forever. But maybe the life has been lifted. Maybe it's dried up, and maybe it's time to consider moving on. Maybe God isn't going to necessarily tell you it's drying up, but you're going to see that the brook is drying up. There's no more water coming. God, where am I going to get the water? But God knows. Listen to this. And he said, the word of the Lord came to him saying, see, he is living by the word of the Lord. You know, we're going to have to learn to live by the word of the Lord, brethren. We've been living by our own intuition, by our own cleverness, by our own plans, by our own aspirations. But we're going to come to where our life is going to be hid in Him, and we cannot have life unless we hear from God. And maybe what you say that you're going to have some fasting, maybe this is the way to hear the voice of God. Fasting isn't going to change the mind of God. You know that? I know people that have fasted and fasted for 40 days. Yes, I know people have fasted 40 days. And I know people that have tried to change the mind of God. Well, a 40-day fast is going to change you, but it isn't going to change the mind of God. If God said he wants something done, he still wants it done. Amen? So, but fasting, I think, is valuable. And fasting is a good way to get your ears to hear the voice of God. Why? Because you're telling the flesh. See, the flesh is usually what comes in and quenches out the voice of the Spirit. So when you fast, you're saying, God, the flesh is going to obey the Spirit. Flesh, I'm telling you, you're not going to have your meal today. And it isn't just food. It's other things that your flesh wants that you can fast of. Flesh, I'm in control. You are not in control. And so when the flesh has to take a back seat, then the Spirit can take the front seat. And you can begin to hear by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, this is a different kind of provision, but it's the command of God. He said, I have commanded a widow to feed you. Now, I'm going to have to tell you a personal story about me, if you don't mind. After I eventually left that job up in the mountains where the raven tried to fire me, and he couldn't, and as soon as everything settled down, I said, okay, God, I need to get out of here. Find me a job. I was commuting an hour and a half one way each day. And I said, Lord, I'm going to wear my car out. I'm wearing myself out. I'm living in the car. I want to live in my home sometimes. Get me a job down where I'm living now, near the city. So the Lord got me a job. It was a 2-year job. And there was a hospital and nursing home together, and the hospital was going through a bankruptcy. And they told me that I was hired to be the administrator of the nursing home, but as soon as the bankruptcy finished, that I would not have a job. And I knew that, okay? 2 years. So after 2 years, I found another place where I was working as a temporary. Okay? So I went over there and I began to work, and I got in the car one morning, and I was about a mile from my house. I turned onto the main road, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in the car. And he said, I have commanded a widow to sustain thee. And it troubled me, because I said, Lord, I don't want this. I can earn my own income. I don't want a widow. Widows are in bad shape. Widows don't have anything. I don't want to rob from a widow. Please, change your mind, God. Well, he never changed his mind at all. So it bothered me so that I went to another brother. He was a pastor in a little church that we kind of fellowship with. We kind of worked together, you know, sometimes we get together. And I said, Brother Charlie, tell me, what is the difference between a widow and a raven? Can you imagine me asking a stupid question like that? But it bothered me. I should have known. And without hesitation, Brother Charlie turned to me and he said, why? A raven is unclean. Of course. I said, well, yes, of course. So what God was saying to me basically was, my source of income is going to begin to change. It wasn't sudden. It wasn't all at once. But basically he was saying, you're not going to have any more full-time jobs, full-time contract, you know, work for a year, so many $1,000s a year, whatever it was. No, things are going to change. You're going to have to live a little bit more by faith from now on. Now, I wanted the gift of faith, you see, but I didn't want it that way. I wanted security in my wallet. I wanted security here. And Lord, I'll walk by faith somewhere else. But no, he said, you're going to walk this way. So I got to thinking a little later on about this widow's house, and I came to a conclusion that this widow is a picture of what it's going to be like in the end time. I'm going to make a statement, and I don't know that I can exactly prove what I'm saying, so I'll warn you now. But I believe that as we come into the end time, this was not the beginning of this tribulation. It was somewhere, let's say, in the middle of this tribulation, that Elijah had to transition from the raven to the widow's house. I believe that we're going to be living somewhat in what I will call the widow's house. Now, it's not going to be a natural widow for most of you. There may be a real widow, but I'm talking spiritual language here. We're going to have to live by the faith of the widow and the prophet. All right, let's go to this. And by the way, this widow of Zarephath. Do you know who Ahab's wife was? The king. Ahab's wife. Jezebel. What do you know about Jezebel? She was a wicked, wicked woman. She set up murder contracts, had them carried out. She was an extremely wicked woman. So, when Elijah gave that word to Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain, it's not going to be dew, it's going to be terrible tribulation until I bring another word. So, Jezebel and Ahab, with Jezebel with Ahab's help, they send a contract out to every nearby nation, every city. They went looking for Elijah. And I believe they sent their military men, their SWAT team, their whatever, hunt him down. Intelligence, where is Elijah? And they couldn't find him. But guess where he was? He wasn't in Israel. He was in Zarephath of Sidon. Do you know where the hometown of Jezebel was? It was her home. They looked everywhere except where Jezebel lived. Isn't this interesting of God? He has such a sense of humor. Well, I'm going to put Elijah right in Jezebel's town. And it's the only place he's not going to look, because he would never think that the prophet would be so stupid to go back to Jezebel's hometown. So there is a woman outside of Israel. All right, let's go on. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to feed thee there. Now, I don't know if this woman knew that she had the command of God on her, but she was going to find out. I don't know that the Lord had come to this widow in the dream in the night and said, hey, there's a prophet going to come here tomorrow morning, and you're to give him everything you've got. No, I don't believe that. But somehow, the command of God was in the soul of this woman, and when she saw this prophet, somehow she had to obey the Lord. All right. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, you could tell a widow in those days, because a widow always had a different kind of dress. I think she wore a lot of black, you know, and I don't know why it was. I think it was that people would be merciful to a woman if they saw her dressed in black. They would know that her husband had died. And, you know, they didn't have any social security or anything in those days to take care of widows. And there was a day here in Belize when you had nothing to take care of a widow. Somebody had to come forth and help them out, the family, usually. So this woman didn't have much of a family. All she had was a little son. So here's the first request. Fetch me a little water. Well, there was still water in the well, and that's not going to be a problem. You want a little water? Fine. I'll go to the well. I'll draw you a little water. So as she turned to go to the water, there was still water in the well, see? The well hadn't run dry. So she went, and she's going to fetch him a little water. Now the water isn't going to cost her anything, is it? No? It's public water supply? No problem. I'll get you a little water. So she's being tested. All right, and it says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, wait a minute, come back here. I know you're going to get me some water, but bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. I want you to bring me a little bread too with the water. Now we've got a problem. Okay? The well is not full of bread. All I've got, listen to her. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Now remember, this is not a woman who was of Israel. Why did she say that to Elijah? As the Lord thy God. She didn't say, as the Lord my God. They had a different God up there. But somehow she recognized Elijah was a man of the true God. Somehow this man, this prophet, this minister, something told her, this man is a real man. Believe what he's going to tell you. So she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, what? I have not a cake. I can't bring you a piece of bread. Okay? But all I have is a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in a cruse. A cruse is a little jar. And behold, I am gathering two sticks. So oil and meal. What is oil and meal a type of? Help me out here, Jim. What's oil and meal? Oil is what?
Holy Spirit.
And meal is the bread of the Word. So what she has is the Spirit and the Word. Just a little bit. Not a full barrel, not a full cruise. But I have a little bit of the Word and I have a little bit of the Spirit. Now we're talking spiritual type here now. Even though they were eating natural bread. Okay, I have a little of each. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. How many sticks does it take to make a fire, brethren? Two. You don't get a big fire with two, but you get just enough to cook a little bit and get a little bit of heat. Do you guys still cook that way? When we go to the Philippines, in the back of the school, when they make a meal for us, I see the women back there, they've got these little sticks, and they're pushing them together, and they got a little fire, and they're cooking a meal, and they still cook that way in the Philippines. You know how to do that. Yeah. My mother used to cook with wood. But it was in a stove. It wasn't out with just a couple of sticks. So I have two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What was her plan? What was her long-range plan? It wasn't very long-range, was it? I have one piece of bread left.
Last meal.
And we're going to eat our last meal, and there's not any more food anywhere else, and we're going to die. So her plan was death to self. Now, if you're desperate and you're going to live on faith, you're going to say, what else have I got? I might as well obey the Lord. Think from this woman's point of view. Okay? I will eat bread. I will have one more meal. Ordinarily, I'd have another meal 8 hours later. Maybe I'd only eat two today. And then eventually, death will come. We'll live a few days without food. And then we'll die. So, do the math. Okay? I live maybe 8 hours longer, but I'm still going to die the same day. What have I got to lose? The man says, he's a prophet. The man says, give me the bread. So let's listen to the man. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. All right? In other words, go ahead with your plan. Make your last meal. Prepare to die. Do everything the way you said you were going to do it. Do it like you said. Amen. And make me thereof a little cake first. Let's see if you really have faith. Are you going to give me that cake? And bring it to me, and after, go and make for thee and thy son. Is this man really a true prophet? She has to decide. Is this really the word of the Lord? Is this really the word of the Spirit that I'm hearing? For thus saith the Lord. Now she's going to get the word of the Lord. You can, you know, brethren, you cannot walk by faith except by the word of the Lord. She's getting the word of the Lord here. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel. See, he made sure, the God of Israel. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail thee until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her home did eat many days. It says her home. I wonder if they ever invited other people to come in. It doesn't just say she and her son and Elijah. It says she and he and her home, her household. And they did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. You know, I don't think that barrel filled up. I believe every day when they took the meal out of the bottom of the barrel, that they heard the scraping sound on the bottom. Oh, we got enough for one. Scrape up another one. Look in there the next day. There's only a little bit in there. But it never went empty. Listen to me. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever had a meal where you made a big pot of food for people and you found out there were more people coming and you blessed it and the pot didn't run out? Did you ever do that?
Yes.
You know it can happen.
Amen.
Yes, we had it. It wasn't because we were desperately poor. It wasn't because we didn't have any money. But, you know, we could have missed it. We could have said, oh, I put more in there than I thought. No, you didn't. You wanted 10 people and there were 30 people came. And you said, oh, my Lord. Oh, well, bless it, Lord. I don't know if everybody's going to have enough to eat. And you know what? When you got all done, there was food in the pot yet. Yes.
It's happened. Sometimes you make a meal for an invited person, but after that, some other come in and they don't come in to see, but then you start to work.
And there's enough.
Afterwards, everybody eats.
God is showing you His provision.
Amen.
And brethren, I'm serious. When we're coming into these hard times, if you're going to come in as sons of God, you must know the provision of God. I'm talking to you sisters too. You who cook the food, okay? You who put the things together for the guests. Provision of God. Divine provision in divine order. Okay? And she went and did, yes. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, let me say a few things about Elijah. Okay? There's some interesting things. Jesus, I think, probably taught more about Elijah than about any other prophet, although he talked about Isaiah and Jeremiah, you know. But Jesus said some very interesting things about Elijah. Let me take you to the New Testament, by the way, and let us see. I think we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11 first. Okay? Matthew 11. And they were talking, he was talking to the disciples about John the Baptist. Okay? And he said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? Remember, John was preaching in the wilderness. And what was he preaching? What was John preaching?
Prepare
the way of the Lord. Okay? So the way of God is that there's always an anointed ministry that is coming to preach the message, prepare the way of the Lord. So in the days of John the Baptist, he was preparing for what Lord? The natural Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Coming in the flesh, coming to men. He preached, prepare the way of the Lord. He also preached, repent. And then he told to the Pharisees, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But they didn't understand it and they didn't take him seriously. So then he preached, let's talk about something else. He preached, I baptize you with water, but he that is coming after me is mightier than I. His shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. I'm translating my understanding. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, you've all got baptized in water, and brother needs to be baptized again in water because he needs to be baptized with a baptism unto repentance.
Yes.
Not a baptism to join a church, but a baptism of repentance.
Yes.
into Christ. Okay? So have you gone the next step and asked the Lord, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire? See, I can baptize you in water. A man can baptize you. But only Jesus can baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And by the way, he's going to bring fire too. Are you ready for the fire? Well, it's necessary. You have to have the fire. The fire is what purges out everything that's not gold. And gold is the nature of God. We want to be like him. This is what his goal is, to make a people who will be like him. Not like the devil, but like Jesus Christ. So, he's talking about John, and he said in verse 11 in Matthew, verily I say unto you, among men that are born of women, there has not been a greater than John the Baptist. Let's stop right there. Among men born of women. How many of you were born of women? I don't know any other way to get here. We had to come through our mother. Amen? So he's talking about a natural birth. Among those who have come through the natural birth, there's not been a mightier one than John. He could have said, of the old order, there's not been a greater prophet than John. Notwithstanding, he goes on in his sentence, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, which is John. Greater than John. John was the greatest of the old order. But if you are in the kingdom of God, which is Jesus Christ, a new kingdom, a new order, amen? Brethren, come out of the old order and come into the new order. Come out of the order of law. Come out of the order of ritual. And come in to the freedom of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Because if you come into the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the least of you is now greater than John. Because you have something that John didn't have. Hallelujah. You have the blood of Jesus. John never saw the blood. He preached about it, but he didn't see it. Hallelujah. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Do you understand? There has to be a struggle, a violence, a decision. I'm going to have it no matter what it costs. I'm going for it. If it costs me my life, I'm going for it. I must have the fullness of the calling of God manifest in my life. I must see the sons of God manifest in the earth. It says creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for those of us who will rise up and be like Christ. And when there's a whole company, a whole multitude of people who are going to be in this earth like Christ, wickedness won't have a chance. We don't have to fight it with guns and swords and machetes. No. Righteousness will overcome the darkness. Hallelujah. But not without Jesus Christ. All right. Over in the next chapter, 17.
Verse 14.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
You should be either 21.
Oh, did I quit before I should?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Oh, yes, this is the one I wanted. Thank you.
And if ye will receive it, this is Elias.
Elias is the same as Elijah. Elias is the Greek word. Elijah is the Hebrew word. This is Elias, or Elijah, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Somebody said to me, Brother Mark, there's a woman came, used to come to our fellowship. Brother Mark, why are you spiritualizing everything? I said, sister, because Jesus did it.
Amen.
Jesus was spiritualizing the name of John the Baptist and said, if you can receive it, this man is Elijah.
Amen.
That meant that he had come in the spirit of Elijah. But you see, the spirit of Elijah isn't finished. No, the natural Elijah won't come back, but the spirit of Elijah is coming back in the last days. Hear me, brethren.
Amen.
The spirit of Elijah, you can be part of it.
Amen.
So let me go to a couple more verses. And this would be in Matthew 17. Now, Jesus went up on the mountain. I'm sure you've preached this many times, the transfiguration. He went up and the glory fell and he was bright and shiny. And Moses and Elijah came and ministered to him. And was it Peter? It's usually Peter. I think it was Peter. Said, Lord, let's make three tabernacles. In other words, let's make three shrines. You know what a shrine is, don't you? We have these shrines all over New York. I call them a saint in the bathtub. A little bathtub looking thing with a little saint inside of it. Well, Peter wanted to make those. He said, we'll make one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And what did Jesus say to him? And let's see here. And he answered Peter and said, Peter answered and said, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice out of the cloud. So this is the voice of the Spirit, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. In other words, you don't need a shrine for Moses, and you don't need one for Elijah. You're going to focus only on Jesus Christ. This is the Son. The others are prophets. This is the Son. Okay, we could be sons of him, but and indirectly sons of God, but not the only begotten Son. There's only one, and there will be only one. We are not going to be gods, brethren. We're only going to be servants. So, when they heard this, the disciples fell on their face and were sore afraid. So Jesus touched them, arise. So when they came down, it says verse 10, and when the disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come? Can you tell me why? Help me out. We go back to the book of Malachi. Let's go back to the Malachi and read it, and we'll know why the scribes said that Elijah must first come. So we'll go back to Malachi, the last chapter in Malachi, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, this is the last book, the last chapter, the last verses of the Old Testament. Very appropriate. He says, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. He's going to get pretty bad. Amen. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. There's nothing going to be left of the proud and the wicked. Amen. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. These wicked systems that have got their tentacles and their roots into everything, the Word of God says even their roots are going to be burned out. They won't have a hold on anything. It's going to be burnt out. God is going to take care of it. He's going to clean this world up. Amen. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, that's Jesus Christ, amen, arise with healing in his wings. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I will do this, saith the Lord. And then in verse 5 it says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So, he said, I'm going to send Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, when Jesus said of John the Baptist, if you can receive it, this is Elijah. Was that the great and terrible day of the Lord? No. It was a day of his coming, but not the day of his great and terrible coming. So you see, there's another coming. He came in the flesh. There's actually three comings. There's another coming where it says that he will come suddenly into his temple. Suddenly, without warning. You told us last night, what is the temple of God? We are. Me, you, yeah. you. He's going to come suddenly to his people. The world won't know it. But he's going to come suddenly to his sons. Amen. He's going to come suddenly to his wise virgins. He's going to come suddenly to his man-child company, his 144,000. He's going to come suddenly. Now, the other coming is, there's a coming when every eye shall see him. That's a different coming. That's the last coming. So the great and terrible day of the Lord, the beginning of that great and terrible day of the Lord is the beginning of this 3.5 year period of time. And so the disciples are saying to Jesus, why do the scribes say that Elijah has to come? And this is why they went around asking him, are you Elijah that was to come? Are you Moses? You know, they didn't know who he was. Oh, he's that prophet. No, I'm the one that God sent, the Son of God. So here's his answer. And Jesus answered, verse 11, and said unto them, Elijah, or Elias, truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. They didn't recognize Elijah, and they didn't recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God when he came. They didn't recognize him. Now, one final verse here, and I'll take you to Luke. And where Jesus again talked about Elijah. This is Luke chapter 4, the beginning of Christ's ministry. He started in his hometown. And he quoted the verse from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach, amen, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? The Jubilee. It was the great year of the Lord when everybody got set free from all their debts. So he said, I'm here. Jesus announced in the synagogue that day, I am sent for that. And then he shocked them and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, we know the word in Isaiah, but you're saying that you're the one? And they couldn't believe it. And they went about, they were going to try to throw him over the cliff, stone him or something. So here's what he said to them. Oh, and he really got them mad when he said this. You know, Jesus wasn't very politically correct. He didn't hate people, but he wasn't afraid to say what had to be said either. He said to you, I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. Do you not believe that? Don't you believe that there were lots of widows in Israel? Why did God send him outside of Israel? But unto when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. I'll finish with this. Where did God find that widow? Answer is simple. Outside of the camp. Where was Jesus crucified? Outside of the city. Amen? Listen, that widow might be outside of the church system. Somebody that you don't know, somebody that hasn't known the Lord, but decides she's going to believe and she's going to receive everything that God had. God is full of surprises. That's what I see. So, what I'm going to say again, when the Lord said to me, I have commanded a widow to sustain thee. That's exactly the word. It's so funny when the Lord speaks to me sometimes. He doesn't speak every day. Sometimes it goes 10 years before he says something again. But see, if you live long enough, you get a lot of those 10-year intervals. But he spoke and he said, I have commanded a widow. Oh, he said something else to me. It was about a week later, maybe a couple days later. It's same place in the car. I began to think, oh, this might be a holy place in the road, you know, where God speaks. But it wasn't, you know. It's just that that was a good place to get my attention. The Lord said, you are not to take a job in another city for the purpose of finding employment. See, what I used to do is, if a job... See, there aren't very many hospitals in a city. Sometimes only one. So if my job ends in one city as administrator, I'd have to go to another city to find the same kind of job. And he said to me very clearly, you're not to go to another city to find employment. So basically, he was really reinforcing. Well, they offered me a job in the city where I had been working, and I said, but, and they said, you must live in this city. You must live in Amsterdam. I said, but I'm only 20 minutes drive away. They said, no, that's our rule. You have to live here in this city. I said, well, I'm going to have to turn you down. I'll help you find another administrator. I'll recruit one for you. But I can't take it. See, God is going to test you. Do you really believe the word that you heard? Did that woman really believe? And he tested me. Did I really believe? Would I tell them no? Or would I say, no problem. I'll only move 20 minutes away. I'll take the job. You know what would have happened to me? The favor of God would have left me, and I would have had no more favor of God. He would discipline me until I decided to obey and turn back to Him. But brethren, when you hear the word of the Lord, obey the first time. God bless you.